The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Hey, hi, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm the announcer, Todd Wilkerson, and I'm taking a bubble bath right now.
Yeah, it's such a treat luxuriating in this warm water with scented candles and my favorite Rachmaninoff. Oh, no, sorry, it's Popoff.
Anyway, that's the beauty of radio. No one can see you.
In your nakedness.
Well, I'd like to get back to my fashion magazine, so let me introduce your host, Eric Metaxas.
I have no idea who that is.
Whoops.
Or why he's introducing me. But, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. It won't happen again. This is Eric Metaxas. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, I've become a bit of a history buff over the years. I've always loved history. I never knew that I would be writing books on history. But I'm happy to say that even though I can only write a few books, I can read a lot of wonderful history books. And there's one out now about someone you may not even know about. You probably heard of him. Light Horse Harry Lee is the title of the book, and it's the subject of the book, Light Horse Harry Lee, who was the father of Robert E. Lee. The book is, as I said, Light Horse Harry Lee, The Rise and Fall of a Revolutionary Hero by Ryan Cole, who is on the phone with us now from Indiana. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Congratulations on the book. I didn't mention that, you know, you've written about history and literature for The Wall Street Journal, National Review, The American Interest, and, of course, the Indianapolis Star. And you work with Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. So you've got all kinds of stuff going on. So my real initial question, which is kind of an easy question to ask, but maybe not so easy to answer. What was it that drew you to write a whole book about Light Horse Harry Lee? Because he is obviously not as well known as others from the founding era. What is it about this guy that made you decide I'm going to devote an entire book to it? Him.
Well, at the onset, I should just say that the book is not about Robert E. Lee. He's really, at best, a peripheral character here. But the answer to the question goes back to Robert E. Lee, in that I knew that he had ancestors who had participated in the Revolution and in the founding, and there was something discordant about that to me, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Someone who still divides us and participated in the near separation of two parts of the country would be closely related to the men who founded the country.
Right.
So I looked into it, so to speak, and I obviously knew, because remember, it's not just Light Horse Harry Lee. Also, there's Lee Cousins, Stratford Hall Cousins, Richard Henry Lee, Francis Lightfoot Lee, Arthur Lee, who also were participating in the political side of the Revolution.
But Richard Henry Lee, I've heard of. Now, was he from South Carolina? I can't remember.
They're all from another part of Virginia than Light Horse Harry Lee, but they were second cousins.
Okay.
So the Lee family is vast, and many members participated in the revolution. So, but when it came down to it, and I started reading about Light Horse Harry Lee, who would have been known as Henry Lee during his lifetime, or just Harry Lee, Henry Lee III, then I discovered here was a just incredible life with so many twists and turns, and a life of real significance in terms of the founding of the country and the establishment of the government under the Constitution, that it stood on its own. And it would be worth studying and learning about, and it's a story worth hearing, even if Robert E. Lee had never been born. I think it's that significant. And
But for people who are fascinated with Robert E. Lee, the idea that that there's a book about his father and that his father led the life that you write about in this book. I mean, you know, most people are not aware of that. So thanks for writing it. So tell us, I mean, you know, if somebody says, okay, why did you write a book about him other than the fact that he's Robert E. Lee's father? He's a figure in other words, what is the arc of his life? Because when the title says The Rise and Fall of a Revolutionary Hero, I can't think of any other revolutionary heroes except for Benedict Arnold, who had a fall. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I should say, you know, Henry Lee, when you say who was Henry Lee, I say, well, he was a many, many things, some of them very noble and others not. And, you know, he was from the onset a member of a princeling from one of Virginia's foremost families. Right. He was a hero of the Revolution. He was a statesman in the early years of the Republic, and a really eloquent one at that, and governor of Virginia 3 terms. He was the man that subdued the Whiskey Rebellion, and he was the man who eulogized George Washington as first in war, first in peace, first in heart, first countryman.
In future interviews, you have to lead with that, because I cannot believe that I missed that. That is huge. He is the man who said first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. I forgot that. I know I heard it many years ago, but wow, talk about if he had done nothing else, let's put it that way, then come up with that phrase. What a gorgeous phrase. Beautiful.
Yeah, we still quote it today.
As well we should.
200 years later, we still quote it. So these are all really significant things, and you would say glorious in some ways, but then he was also, you know, in addition to these things, he was a terrible investor, a grand egotist, an absentee father, an absentee husband. And his ambition and his poor investments bankrupted him. He ended up in debtor's prison for a spell, and his reputation was shot both politically. We probably can get to this. He was pummeled by a mob in Baltimore in 1812.
And what does it feel like to be pummeled? I think
not good.
Pummeled is a nice word, isn't it? Words are funny. Pummeled sounds like, you know, they hit him with pillows. Pummeled by a mob probably was painful. Why was he pummeled by a mob, by the way?
He was pummeled by a mob. This is in 1812, a month after President Madison decides we're going to go to war with Great Britain. And Lee's opposed to the war, but I should say Lee's also close friends with James Madison, because they went to College of New Jersey together, which is now Princeton. And Lee ends up in Baltimore, where a young friend named Alexander Hansen is a Federalist printer who publishes a newspaper that's critical of Madison, critical of the war, and he'd already been chased from the city once for writing incredibly venomous editorials about the president. And he comes back into Baltimore. He's determined to exercise his First Amendment rights. And Lee, there's a little debate about what exactly Lee was doing there, but my sense is that he came to help protect Hansen. Later, he would say he just dropped by for a game of cards. But they're holed up in a house in Baltimore, and an angry mob, because remember, Baltimore is a Republican-Democrat. It's a pro-Madison, pro-Jefferson, pro-war city, and this Federalists are holed up in this house. And the mob attacks them. Eventually, Lee, who is an older man now, he's not the dashing revolutionary hero, decides the best course of action is to surrender to the city officials, who really have no interest in protecting these Federalists. They're escorted to a prison. The mob breaks into the prison, and they pummel every member of the party. They kill a man named James Lingdon, who was another revolutionary hero.
So he was more than pummeled. He was murdered.
He was killed. He was murdered. And Lee is, you ask how it felt to be pummeled. He is described after the attack as his head is completely black and swollen. There's a hole where one of his eyes used to be. His nose is split in half.
Wait a minute.
He's covered in
blood. You're talking about Lee?
Yeah, Lee.
Okay, so I think you're going to have to revise the word pummeled based on that description. Brutally beaten?
He's brutally beaten.
I'm a writer, so I can quibble with you on this stuff. Brutally beaten sounds to me. That is horrifying to hear. My goodness, he could have been killed as well, obviously.
Yeah, and originally the Federalist newspapers, get into politics of the era, the Federalist newspapers didn't even wait to find out if he had died or not because there was some debate, and they instantly started editorializing the savage Republicans had killed two revolutionary heroes. But he does live. But the beating, the brutal beating, is so severe that he never recovers his health, and it's
wow. Because you can recover, you almost inevitably recover from a mere pummeling. Ryan, just so you know, I've been there before you. I'm much older than you, and I'm telling you, pummeling is a sweet word. Albin pummels me my producer routinely, and I recover almost instantly. But this is wow. I mean, seriously, we forget. You know, when you bring this up, we talk about how things are brutal today. I mean, this was in the United States of America that people yeah. are being hounded and beaten for their political views. We're going to be right back, folks. I hope you stick around. This is exciting. The book is Light Horse, Harry Lee, and we have Ryan Cole, the author, on the line.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
This is a message to business owners. The strongest selling proposition is to get your customer into your store in front of your product. Now you can do that digitally, everywhere, with Salem Surround. Digital marketing that easily takes your business beyond its four walls, putting your message on people's computers, tablets, and mobile phones everywhere. Your digital ad virtually puts them into your store in front of your products. Salem Surround takes the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. Call us at Salem Surround for a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggested ideas that could dramatically increase your sales. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers. Salem Surround, total market penetration for increased ROI.
Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas here. You all know how much I love MyPillow, and now Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. This is not a joke. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on these sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, and use promo code ERIC or METAXAS to get 30% off plus free shipping, or go to MyPillow.com, but be sure to use the code ERIC or METAXAS, MyPillow.com.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to gogomeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code Mike2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com. Promo code Mike2018.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Once upon a time there lived a man, and his name was Hezekiah. He walked with God both day and night, but he didn't want to die. He cried, "Oh Lord, please let me live. Death is close, I know." God smiled down on Hezekiah. He gave him 15 years to go.
Hey there, folks. I was just asking my engineer, James, who is that? Because it sounds like Dolly Parton, but it also sounds like Alison Krauss. It's Alison Krauss. We're talking to Ryan Cole, who is the author of a brand new book about a very important and, let us say, colorful figure, Light Horse Harry Lee, who was the father of Robert E. Lee. Ryan, welcome back. I have to say seriously that it's an extraordinary thing when you're talking about somebody being beaten half to death by a mob for his political convictions. We think that we're living in tough times now and that, you know, Trump has divided the country. And you think, wow, we don't blame Madison for dividing the country, but it kind of sounds like he did.
Yeah, it seems our current debate seems quaint by comparison, doesn't it?
Our debate today is not even a pummeling, if I can say so. This is it's amazing. So what at what point is he a father? Does he become the father of Robert E. Lee? And did they have a relationship?
So Robert E. Lee is the product of his second marriage. His first wife, the Divine Matilda, she's called.
The Divine. Who called her that?
He calls her that.
He called her that. And then he dumped her. But then he dumped her.
No, she died. She died after she gave birth to a boy, Nathaniel Green, Lee, because Lee fought with Nathaniel Green in the Southern campaign to the war. And both the child and the wife, Matilda, die shortly afterwards, which sends him into a spiral of grief, obviously, for obvious reasons. And he remarries after going through this period of ennui where he thinks about going to France and joining the French Revolution. And George Washington has to talk him out of it eventually.
This sounds like a clue to his unraveling. It's interesting to hear this because it's so easy to judge people. But then you hear that this woman that he loved died. That must be a part of the story. It sounds to me of what inevitably happened to him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a culmination of things, and that's a huge thing. And I should add, he loses his wife, he loses the baby, and then shortly after that, he ends up being governor of Virginia. And while he's governor, he loses his other son. He has two surviving sons, in addition to the one, the child that died. And the oldest, Philip Ludwell Lee, ends up dying while he's on a mission in the Western Territories. He comes home and learns his son had died. So he's in complete anguish, and he thinks about going to France. Washington says, "Well." Yeah, because Lee is governor of Virginia at the time, Washington says it would be bad for appearances if the governor of one of our most powerful and largest states went off and fought another country's revolution.
Especially when that revolution was not based on good things and did not end well.
But the thing about Lee and his character, he believed obviously in the philosophical underpinnings of the American Revolution, but he was also wanted fame and glory and thought it would be found on the battlefield. So he thought going to France would be another shot at that, but he doesn't do it. And to get to your question, he ends up, instead of going back to war, he decides to pursue love, and he ends up marrying Ann Carter, who's the daughter of another one of Virginia's big families. And they have a series of children, and in 1807, their last son is Robert. But by this time, remember, Lee's born in 1756, so he's an older man when he has Robert. And by this time, in the first end of the first decade of the 19th century,
he's 60.
His finances are...
Or no, he's 50. He's 50 years old at that point when he has Robert 50. E. Lee. So
and his finances are in total disarray. He's either in hiding or he's trying to find money to pay off his creditors. So, and then he's in debtor's prison for a spell, and then he spends the last years of his life in self-imposed exile in the West Indies. So they spent very little time in each other's company during the few years that their lives intersected.
Wow. And what do you mean self-imposed exile in the West Indies? Now, the West Indies were at that time British.
Right. So we talked about the brutal beating by the Baltimore mob, which he survived. But when he goes off to, he's in York, Pennsylvania, where he recovers, and he moves home. And home at this point is Alexandria, Virginia. You can go to the Lee House is still there in Old Town. And he's there, but he is in, so his health is totally destroyed because of the mob, right? His finances, he's already been out of debtor's prison, so his reputation is in dire straits. And there's nothing left for him here in the States, so he decides that, number one, he can leave and go to a warmer climate because the thought is it'll have, you know, restore your health, is the belief at the time, right? Mm. And he also wants to get away from what must have been heartache here and terrible memories.
Right.
So he, remember, we're also at war. We're still at war with Britain, so there's a blockade on the Chesapeake Bay. And this is just to underscore his connection. He is a founding father and his connection to the founders we remember.
Yeah.
He sends letters to James Madison asking, would you please allow me to pass to go to a warmer climate? My health demands it.
Right.
And Madison finally gives in. He feels sorry for his old friend, and he instructs James Monroe, who's Secretary of State, to allow to lift the blockade. And Lee sails off to the West Indies, where he roams around from, you know, island to island for the remaining years of his life as he's described as basically a vagrant, you know, a pauper. His clothes are tattered. He's skin and bones, and he just basically lives off of the generosity or the gullibility of people he meets for several years, and he keeps a diary, which is we can kind of keep track of where he was.
I was going to say, have there been other books written just about him? I imagine over the course of the decades and centuries, probably. But
there have been the last, what I would say, the last biography from birth to death was in the 1960s, and there have been a series of books in the 80s and more recently. But I have to tell you that I wanted to write a book not about one aspect of his life, his military career, and get into the minutiae that I wanted to tell the story, because as a historian and as someone who enjoys stories telling and hearing them, I felt you couldn't ask for anything better. So it's been a while since anyone's told the entire story.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like what I like to do, actually. I mean, it's just you realize the decades pass and people don't know, and then things are dated, and it needs telling. And I'm just fascinated with history in general, because, you know, when you dip into the life of someone like this, Light Horse Harry Lee, it touches so many other things, and you begin to get a fuller view of the past that you can't if you just, you know, read about George Washington, let's say, and you begin to see that they were just like us. And the more you know, the more you almost, you know, through the books you can live in that past and understand it in a different way. And obviously it informs the present for anybody familiar with the past. So it is extraordinary. Now, tell us about the rise of Light Horse Harry Lee, because we've talked about you know, the ending, but his military prowess, all of that, I don't know about it, and I'm assuming my listeners don't know.
Yeah, well, just to, you know, this is kind of ties into what you just said about history by looking at particularly his rise as a hero of the Revolution and also a politician in early years of the Republic. People who read the book will get a peripheral view of the founding fathers. You get to see them in lights that you haven't seen,
right.
Because they're side characters here. So you maybe get to see parts of them that you don't see elsewhere. But his military career, it really begins. Remember, he had no training, no form of military training. He's kind of a princeling. He goes to Princeton and he's going to go be a lawyer. He's going to study the bar in England, but the war intervenes. No training. So he's a self-made soldier. He volunteers in a local militia and then gets incorporated into Virginia's Dragoons, and then when they get pushed into the main army, he ends up with Washington, and you could say, well, where did he look, what battle did he earn his, you know, his fame? And it's not so much a battle as this is partisan warfare. We would call it guerrilla warfare. He's the one who's riding between the lines, attacking British supply trains, you know, foraging for supplies to feed
the
army.
When we think of how we fought the war, he typifies that.
Yeah, yeah. And you may not know, there may not even be names for these battles, but he's the one who's helping feed the army, clothe the army. And in terms of something I can talk about with a name, the Battle of Paul's Hook in 1779, which has probably been forgotten, but at the time it was a big deal. It was a loyalist fortification and kind of jutting off the coast of New Jersey. Jersey City is there now, I believe. And Lee designs a raid, gets Washington's approval. Most people think it's impregnable. They carry off the raid. They don't lose a single American soldier. And Congress, in the end, he gets his two. I'll give you the cliff notes, is that it's a great accomplishment. Washington's just over the moon. The country, sagging morale. This isn't a huge tactical victory, but it's a, you know, for morale, it's a huge boost. Lee's a hero. He ends up getting court-martialed immediately afterward by jealous soldiers. The charges are dismissed, but Congress, in the end, awards him a gold medal, which no other soldier underneath the rank of general would be awarded during the Revolution, to show you at his time what a hero he was, what a significant
figure
he was.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's extraordinary, too. Okay, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back for a final segment. Stick around, folks. This is history. The book is Light Horse Harry Lee, The Rise and Fall of Revolutionary Hero. Ryan Cole, the author, on the phone with us. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is traveling to Southern California to meet with local law enforcement officials and also to tour a section of recently rebuilt fencing he cites as the answer to stop a surge of migrant families coming to the U.S. in recent months. The president is pulling Ron Vitello's nomination to lead U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but he has not disclosed who his other choice is. Vitello is the acting director of ICE. Joe Biden says he's never been disrespectful intentionally to a man or a woman. The former vice president gave a speech to an electrical workers union conference today. Former U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner has been ordered to register as a sex offender as he nears the end of a 21-month prison sentence for having illicit online contact with a 15-year-old girl. This is SRN News.
Your family depends on your income, and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block, and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DINOVITE.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s, and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dynavite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it, and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Talking about people. I just ignore it.
is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Ryan Cole. He's the author of a brand new book on a figure you may not know about, probably don't, Light Horse Harry Lee, The Rise and Fall of a Revolutionary Hero. If you learn stuff and then you forget it. This is the man who, he was the father of Robert E. Lee, number one. Number two, hero of the revolution. Number three, coined the phrase, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen, talking about George Washington when he eulogized him. Ryan, I've got to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how did he come to be known as Light Horse Harry Lee? I cannot believe I didn't ask you that from the outset. Albin, my producer, tipped me off and said, hey, dummy, why don't you ask this question? I mean, it's kind of amazing that it maybe because I think we feel like we've heard it before, or at least that's my excuse, that you think, oh, yeah, Light Horse Harry Lee. But I have no idea, so I'm dying to know.
It's from his service during the Revolution. He was a dashing horse soldier, you know, known far and wide for his skills in the saddle and his daring deeds. But the interesting thing is he would not have been called that during his life. It's something that would have been kind of appended to his name after his death. But we know him as that. But his real name was Henry Lee III.
But what I'm saying is that the people of that time would not have said Light Horse. He didn't get the nickname during his lifetime?
No, not during it. Certainly not during the Revolutionary Service. In all the research, I didn't come across anyone ever referring to him as Light Horse.
Well, you kind of wonder, how did he get it, or when did he get it?
They think one of the earliest histories of the Revolution, written, I think, in the 1820s.
Oh, that is interesting.
I believe a member.
So he was, when did he die? When did he die?
In 1818, March of 1818.
Okay, so that's fantastic. I mean, the idea that he gets this name by which he is now known after his death. Okay, so my second question, how did he come to eulogize George Washington? And I assume that was at Mount Vernon. I don't remember where all of that. I know he's buried at Mount Vernon because I've seen his grave.
This is a great story. It's kind of the pinnacle. You could argue maybe it's one of the pinnacles of his public career. He knew Washington. He'd known him since he was a boy, because Washington was friends with Lee's father, Henry Lee II, and had spent, in Washington's diary, he writes about spending the night at their home, Leesylvania. So their relationship went from boyhood during the war, then the early years of the Republic during the ratification of the Constitution. And like I said, Washington turned to Lee to subdue the Whiskey Rebellion. So they had a long history. So when Washington died, to answer the sub-question, he is buried at Mount Vernon, but in Philadelphia, where Lee is a congressman at the time, just arrived, the decision is that they're going to have a national ceremony. It's called a funeral, but obviously the body isn't there, but it's a funeral without the body.
It's what we call a memorial service today.
A memorial service, and it's actually everything except for the body being there. It is exactly, we just had a president die. Everything that we go through, the national ceremony that we go through, with the riderless horse, this is the first time you see all of that happen.
And this was obviously 1799, because that's
when... Yeah, December 1799 in Philadelphia. And the Congress, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate decide someone from the Virginia delegation has to give the eulogy. And Lee is the obvious choice because of all the connections I just mentioned. So he holds up over Christmas and writes the speech. And the thing I should say is, one thing, if your listeners get the book and read it, they'll really enjoy is we know that phrase, the first in war, first in peace. But the rest of the speech is fantastic. It really is a wonderful
speech. Is that speech in your book?
Yeah, I go into the whole funeral service surrounding it, and there were 4,000 people there. In Zion Lutheran Church in Philadelphia, which is no longer there, but Lee's in the middle of it, and he delivers a speech, which is, it's wonderful because it has that great line at the end, but what he does is he says he takes the listeners across Washington's life. He takes them to the banks of the Monongahela during the French and Indian War. He takes them through the Revolution in the early years of the Republic, and then at the end he makes this wonderful plea where he says, he conjures Washington, and through Lee, Washington says to those gather there, and also to future generations, cease lamenting our separation. There's a country to build, there's religion to revere, there's arts and culture to patronize. Go forward. That's how you perpetuate my labors. It's a really wonderful speech, and those who read the book will get to see the rest of it beyond the famous phrase.
Well, see, I'm very glad I asked you that, because now I'm really dying to read the book. I really think that, again, you know, what I said earlier, that the beauty of books like this and of what we consider minor characters, you know, they fill out the picture. And to get his perspective on Washington at Washington's death, we all remember that phrase, or we should. But to really to read the rest of the speech, it's not something that I probably ever would have done in my life until you just mentioned it now. And now I realize I can find it in your book. That is just wonderful. We've just got seconds left. So let me ask you before we run. You said that he got this medal. What is the gold medal, just before we go, that you said he was awarded?
Congressional gold medal. You would call it a Medal of Honor now, maybe, but I'll tell you the kicker here, and this is, you asked about the Lee's life and the arc of his life. He never got the medal. It was awarded, but he never got it. For whatever reason, Jefferson was supposed to take care of it in France. It didn't happen. There was a model of it struck. The die broke. Lee never got it. His son was still trying to find it for him.
Hang on 1 second. If you can stick around for one more segment, because I want to hear the rest of this story, and I'm told we got time. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Please.
No, actually, I mean, can I tell you about it?
Okay, you may.
I may?
You may.
But what I'm trying to say is I've got somebody even better.
Oh.
Yes. I've got a guy named Alan who's been using Relief Factor. I'd like to hear what he has to say about Relief Factor. Here it is.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a train engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Well, see, this is why I want, you know, I could talk about it all day long, but I'm telling you, so many people have been blessed by it. You go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. It's all botanicals. There's nothing dangerous about it. You can take it all day long, and you will know within 3 weeks if it works for you. And if it works for you, it will probably change your life. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Sight and Sound Theaters invites you to a special event coming to movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only.
Noah, I will cover the earth with a great flood.
A flood?
You must build an ark.
Come on board for one of the world's best-known voyages in this original stage production filmed in front of a live audience.
Lord, thank you. I couldn't have done any of this without you.
Noah, in movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only. For locations, visit noahevent.com.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas for Americans for Freedom of Religion. Look, I am blessed to have a platform where I can be authentic and open about who I am and what I believe. But too many public school students who want to peacefully pray, read the Bible, and share about their faith are silenced, embarrassed, and even disciplined by teachers and administrators. AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org teaches students of all faiths that they're protected while living out their faith in their public school. You'll find the Department of Education's clear guidelines on AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org. No student should have to apologize for being true to their values that you as parents worked so hard to instill in them. If you're a concerned Christian parent, please contact us so we can tell you how to get involved locally. You can volunteer, you can pray, and you can donate to keep our nonprofit mission moving forward. Visit AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org to learn more. We need your partnership to achieve our goals. What's happening in our public schools to Christian students can be changed, and we're asking for your help.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Folks, it's Here to Texas Show. I love the idea that we can go from the Bee Gees to Light Horse Harry Lee, you know, both of whom I admire. So we're talking to the author of the new book on Light Horse Harry Lee, Ryan Cole. Ryan, you were just telling us, I mean, this sounds like perfect, right? In other words, you have this figure, this amazing figure who has tragedy in his life, and you're saying that he's awarded this spectacular honor, this gold medal, like a Congressional Medal of Honor, the only one in the revolution to get it, but he never got the actual medal. I mean, he knew that he got it, right? Even though he never saw it, yeah. He knew that he was awarded this. So at least, but so what were you just saying? That why did he never get the medal? What year was this that he was to have been awarded it?
It was 1779. The Battle of Pawsuk was in August, and then he went through the court martial, and then it was after the court martial. When he gets his glory, finally. So what happens is we, obviously, the fledgling nation, they don't have the capacity to print, to coin these medals at the time, so it's kicked down the road. And I think with Jefferson was in France, and they wanted to have it done. France, he, for whatever reason, didn't get done. It gets sent into purgatory. There is a die cast of it. I could send you a photo of it. If you Googled it online, you'd see a photo of it, but it cracks. And the whole process is never completed, and so he never gets the medal. And like I said, there's letters of his oldest son, the oldest surviving son, Henry Lee IV, writing when Lee's in, I think he's in jail at the time, saying, trying to find this medal for his father. So it obviously was something that he still wanted and was still bugging him all these years later, but he never got it. And I just thought that was a perfect metaphor for his,
yes,
the arc of his life, and that he had glory, he availed himself to glory, something always got in the way and end up tarnishing it, just like him being court-martialed after this great, he executes this successful strike. So there's a whole chapter in the book, it's called Cracked, which starts off with the story of the medal, and it's a metaphor of really the beginning of his downfall.
Well, let me ask you two things. First of all, where is that medal today?
Actually, I don't know.
If you don't
that
know,
that is a good question.
You wrote the book on the dude, so that means probably. I mean, wait, I guess my question is: do we know that it exists, or we don't?
It does exist. It absolutely does exist, and I think there's actually a couple different models of them. I honestly don't know. Don't quote me on this. It's either a private collection, or I believe it's in a private collection.
Okay. And by the way, if I find it, I will let you know. You'll be the first to know. Maybe it's in. You know, Ryan, I was joking. I'm not going to look for it, but I'm guessing that it's in the Lee House in Alexandria. Wouldn't you think that there'd be one of them there?
No. The Lee House, because the Lee House, well, you know what?
You've been to the Lee House. You've been there.
The Lee House is owned, well, the house, the last house that Henry Lee lived in Old Town is owned by, as a private owner. But when I was, last time I was there, last year it was for sale. I don't know if it's sold, but it is. It either was or is for sale. So maybe we need to get a tour of it and get in there and see.
I was just going to say, somebody listening to this program who has the money should buy that and turn it into a museum. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just the idea across the street, because the whole block was owned by the Lee family.
Oh.
Lee, you know, but that particular house, the last one that he lived in, is privately owned.
But it's not in the museum across the street either, is what you're telling me.
No. No,
this is bizarre.
I honestly don't. I believe it is in private hands. That's,
okay, if anybody listening to this program has that medal,
if you have that medal,
you need to let us know. Call up Albin. You can email us,
And no questions asked. Just return it to us here at the studio. No questions asked. Otherwise, you're going to do jail time. I'm just telling you straight up. Okay, final question. The court-martial, you referred to the court-martial. We should have covered that earlier. My apologies, because that's an amazing thing. He does this, I mean, he's awarded the medal for derring do, for bravery. But you're telling us before that he has to go through a court-martial. We just have a couple of minutes. What was that?
Well, first of all, I should say, getting back to an early thread in the conversation, you get to see the founders from different perspectives here. Well, the Army, the Continental Army is full of, let's use a modern term, divas.
Well, Benedict Arnold was one of them, right?
Yes. There are so many of them, they don't feel they're getting recognized for their efforts. They are jealous of their fellow soldiers. Well, this was a case of that, is that a number of other soldiers who were older than Lee resented the fact that he had command of the mission and that he received all the glory. They filed several charges against him, saying he wasn't truly. Lee had actually, at some point, was asked at the beginning of the mission when he received his commission by another soldier, and he fudged, because the other soldier would have received his commission earlier, meaning he would have outranked Lee, and Lee, in the heat of the moment, got the year wrong. So, okay, we can debate about that. But all the charges in the end were dismissed, and Washington counseled Lee during the whole process that it would come to nothing. But I was going to say, you get to see in these instances, Washington in particular, his emotional intelligence, how high his emotional intelligence was, and his incredible gift for diplomacy at dealing with all these demanding soldiers and their competing interests and their constant griping about not getting enough glory or attention. And Lee was one of them, by the way. Lee was a diva among divas, and he rubbed a lot of his fellow soldiers the wrong way. He had people like Washington Nathaniel Greene admired him and knew what he was capable of, but a lot of his peers resented him. And the court-martial, he actually was court-martialed twice. He was court-martialed once before that. We don't know the specifics of it. There's no record of exactly why the charges were brought about. But that was the second time he was court-martialed. But both times he was cleared.
It's just fascinating to me that Washington was just a human being and that he had to deal with these characters. And that's, of course, one of the things that makes a great leader is how you deal with these knuckleheads. I would have just knocked their heads together like Moe, you know, on the Three Stooges. That's my management style.
And Moe was a great leader, too, you know.
Moe was his own kind of leader. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And if somebody needs to write a book about Moe, you know, there have been books previously.
Yeah, leadership lessons from Moe.
There have been previous books on Moe, but we need Moe books on Moe. I wanted to end on a really stupid note. So, Ryan Cole, I have to tell you, it's been a pleasure. This is so fascinating to me. And congrats again on the book. Congrats to Regnery for publishing it. Really, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed chatting.
Wonderful. Folks, the book is Light Horse Harry Lee. There's all kinds of reasons to read it. I'll let you pick your own, but I hope you read it. The author, again, Ryan Cole. Stick around. It's the Erkman Taxes Show.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course, with the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. Because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet. Starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump has arrived in Southern California and is meeting now with immigration officials. He spoke during a border security roundtable just moments ago.
I'll tell you, we're really making progress in letting people know that this is an absolute emergency. I see that some of our biggest opponents over the last 2 days have said, you know what, it really is an emergency. They can't believe what's happening. And part of it is because of the fact that the country is doing so well. And part of it's just a scam. People want to come in.
He will later tour a border fence in Calexico, California. The president pulling Ron Vitello's nomination to lead U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but he has not disclosed who his other choice is. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 14 points, the NASDAQ ahead 40. This is SRN News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The three-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Lowe's knows you'll do spring right by saving on everything you need to get your garden growing. We do it right, too, with incredible deals to help you save during our Spring Black Friday sale, like Bonnie vegetable and herb plants, 4 for $10. And for a clean-looking landscape, pick up 5 bags of Scott's mulch for just $10. Whatever's on your spring to-do list, hurry in and save during our Spring Black Friday sale. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 4/17, not valid on Alaska or Hawaii. Bonnie offer valid on 19-ounce pots. See store for details. U.S. only.
I love this music, yeah. But we're going to have to talk about a couple of things. First of all, we've been talking about Light Horse Harry Lee. I love this historical stuff. We've got it. We've been doing it for years. But before we go, before we say bye-bye for the weekend, I want to remind people of two things. One, tomorrow at 1 o'clock is the final matinee performance of the Luis Palau movie. It's called Palau. Mm-hmm. And Luis Palau, we had him on the show yesterday. He is a hero. His story is inspiring. We've got to fill our brains with good stuff. So instead of seeing garbage, which we tend to do just because we're tired, it's kind of like eating junk foods in front of you, whatever. Let's be proactive. Take your kids to see great movies. If you haven't seen Unplanned, you've got.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to see it. And if you haven't seen the Luis Palau movie, honestly, we need to be inspired, okay? Yes. Now, I can only write so many books, right? I've written Seven Men, Seven Women. If you're done with those, you could reread them. But I think that when you are inspired by somebody's life, it changes you. It moves you. It's not enough just to hear a sermon once a week or to just have a quiet time. We need to – our whole lives need to be given over to good stuff, right? And so I just want to say to you, wherever you stand on the faith spectrum, the story of Luis Palau, which is in theaters only tomorrow, Saturday, at 1 o'clock. That's it. It's a great opportunity. If you have an opening in your schedule, check it out. But the Unplanned movie, there has never been a film that deals with the issue of the unborn like this film. It's a great film. I know Abby Johnson, who is – it's her story. It's her life story. It's very moving. It's very even-handed. And I think that if you are interested in this issue on any level, you owe it to yourself to see the movie. But I think that if you care about the unborn, as I hope you do, or if you call yourself a Christian on any level, you should see the movie. I'm not getting paid by the tickets that they sell to this movie. I say this because I believe strongly in this, that if we do not support movies that are doing something like this, what happens is the garbage rises to the top. Yeah. And you all know, we all know that there's a lot of bad stuff out there polluting our minds, polluting our kids' minds. Take your youth group to see this film. I spoke to my fellow Greek Orthodox yesterday, and I'll say it again today. You must take your young people to see this film. You must. If you don't do this, when they
go to college and go into their lives, they're going to confront this issue and they're going to wonder, why wasn't I told the truth about this? I went to church every Sunday. I never heard anything about this. This is an opportunity. You don't have to preach it from the pulpit if you're uncomfortable doing that.
Right.
But you should urge your young people to see this film. Take the youth group. Take the Goya. Every church should be doing this. I'm telling you. If you don't do it, I kind of want to know why. I don't get it. All right. So I also want to say in hour one today, if you missed hour one, we had the great Victor Davis Hanson on Skype. I love this. We're going to do Skype stuff here. And by the way, we are launching as a TV show. This becomes a TV show on TBN, a half an hour a week. I believe it's going to be on the weekends. But May 17th is our inaugural episode.
That's right.
Mark your calendars. Mm. Alvin, it's going to get scary.
Ooh.
It's going to be scary being on TV. I don't know what I think about that. Anyway, folks, lucky for you, we're out of time. We'll see you on
Have
Monday.
Have a nice weekend.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.